is a podcast where you don't have to be perfect. You can be happy. Make your day count. Encouraging, uplifting, full of joy. You're worth more than you think. This is Entirely Unconventional, and I'm Lindsay Roberts. I pray for something miraculous to happen to you today.
So let me ask you this. In your journey, you've experienced probably what people in society now experience more. You look at social media, mm-hmm. and you know, celebrity used to be something that was sought after because there were so few.
Yeah.
And even if you couldn't do it the way you can do it now, you can act like you're a celebrity now. I was watching something this morning on social media, and it was an influencer in LA, and she was saying most people don't know that over 50% of the influencers in LA aren't actually famous, that LA has actually created an ecosystem where there are these $1 million houses, you rent them for $90 a day or $90 an hour.
Yeah.
And these influencers go in there, they use the beds, they use the kitchens, and they act like it's their house. Home. And they do it for $100 an hour. So they go in, they film all of their content.
Oh my goodness.
Because a lot of them too are actors and actresses trying to make it, and they can't even get an audition if they don't have a minimum following of 30,000 people.
It's the chicken or the egg, which comes first? Well, you have to have a following to get this kind of a job. Well, until you have this kind of a job, you don't get that kind of a following.
Right.
And so it's just this vicious circle and vicious cycle.
Right.
So what do? You make it up.
Yeah. Well, and it creates then this striving culture where you become desensitized to the worth of humanity, right? And everybody then becomes an object for your gain or an object to measure yourself against.
And when you find out you're so disappointed and you think that everybody is like that, and then it lessens and weakens the ones who really are famous or doing it right or a good influencer or something like that. You think, oh, you're a liar too, or you're a faker too.
Right.
What's interesting is I got up last night and I was literally, I'm going to say shaken and awakened, because I haven't slept a lot in the last couple of days. I've had a lot of work to do. I'm trying to make a good, honest balance.
Yeah.
But last night I was like, I can't keep this up. I'm going to bed. Fell asleep. And I got up to almost the most weird shaking. Like, Lindsay, get up and pay attention to this. And it was Mark chapter 2. And my giggle was, Lord, I was asleep. Can you wait till morning? And I think he was saying to me, no, because you're not listening in the morning. You're doing so many other things. You're so full of stuff that you're not listening. Mark chapter 2 was the paralytic man that couldn't get to Jesus. His friends put him on a cot or a mat or however you want to say it. Four friends took the corners because he couldn't walk, the Bible says. Carried him to the house Jesus was preaching in, and they couldn't get in. The crowd was so thick. Reminds me of the tent days of Oral, my father-in-law, Oral Roberts. So when all that was going on, I'm telling you, I know as a culture, I've seen people so determined that they'll do whatever. And I've also seen as a culture, when you're my age, you've seen a lot of things. And I've seen people that just like, okay, we'll go do something else. We'll just leave. And I almost want to say, like a cancel culture, if you don't get your answer quickly, what you want, you just cancel it and go on to something else that'll give you this feel-good, quick answer. The paralytic man didn't seem to have a lot of choice in it. He was dependent on the people he surrounded himself with. Mm. And if we're not careful who we surround ourselves with, who we believe in, who we look to be our influencer, who we look to be our role model. You know that thing on television, or it's on, not television, it's on your telephone, and you can like almost airbrush your own face.
Yeah. Some people do it a little too much.
You should see some of the things my kids have done to me, and I'm like, wait a minute. I wouldn't have even known that was me.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what happens. It's this phony or funny facade, but it's not truth. Nick.
It's not truth.
It's not reality.
No, and you see it then go past the images you post on social media to where it's like people tend to sometimes even take on that persona in day-to-day life. So when you're talking about the importance of the company you keep, you know, we live in an era where we talk a lot about mental health, mental wellness, things like that. People struggling in the area of their soul, their thoughts, feeling lonely.
Yeah.
And I see people sometimes just so desperate. I'll take anybody because I want to be around somebody.
Yes.
So let's address that. How is it better to be around nobody than to be around people that you can't trust? What has been your experience? Because I'm sure you've experienced when you are at the top, like that, you can be surrounded by people and be lonely.
Yeah.
So how do you draw the line of even just dealing with that niche topic alone? I'm lonely. I need somebody. I'll take anybody.
What if the paralytic man who had four friends bring him to Jesus, two of them were real friends and two of them were phony facade, phony baloney, only there to get likes and thumbs ups.
Mm-hmm.
What if that was the case and two of them bailed? The other two didn't seem to be able to pick him up. It took four.
Yeah, right.
So he wouldn't have made it. He wouldn't have gotten his healing. I'm speculating that.
Right.
But what would have happened? Hey, one in four. Mm-hmm. What if one? Well, one apparently couldn't get him there. It took four.
Yeah.
It took four faithful friends. So what do you do if you only had one faithful friend or two or three? In his case, he needed all four.
Yeah.
In his, everything is different. Everyone is different. Every case is different. Every person is different. But I look at it this way. I look at it's really simple to me. Everything is magnetic to me in this earth. What are you attracting and what are you repelling? Mm. Grab a magnet.
Mm.
And your magnet will either attract or repel. I have next to me, I have one of those little hot coffee cup that keeps your coffee hot or cold all day long. I have two lids for two cups. My kids got me two different ones. Mm-hmm. In fact, this one's from my office. It's even got my name on it, and it was my birthday present. But weirdly, the magnet for one doesn't work as the magnet for the other. Same company, same everything, same design. But the magnetic field on the lids are different. One will let you pop the magnet on, and it just shuts it, and away you go. The other repels it that no matter what you do.
Yeah.
It will not work. I've had friends that no matter what I do, no matter how hard I try, how much money I invest, how much time I invest, how much kindness, prayers, whatever, I've had friends that receive it and it just slides right in and fits like a glove.
Yeah.
And I've also had friends that I'm sorry I even used that word loosely because Jesus called himself the friend that sticks closer than a brother. And Jesus didn't take that word loosely. He didn't take it lightly. I have a wonderful brother, a wonderful human being. He's a preacher. He's a wonderful person.
Mm-hmm.
His wife is wonderful. His family is wonderful. You know, so I have that brother that sticks like a brother. But Jesus went further and he said he's a friend that sticks like a brother. That's a big word to me. That's an important word to me. And yet I have found friends that I can honestly say I wish that I had not been so friendly.
Yeah.
And I have found friends that I wish I'd been more friendly to.
Mm.
How do you know? I think as a human being, you'll never know, but you can always pray. You can ask the Father. When you ask the Father leads and guides and guards and directs. But I've also noticed that when the Bible says, here's like my Lindsay Roberts clue in. The Bible says when we rejoice, they're supposed to rejoice. And when we hurt, they're supposed to hurt.
Mm.
I've been around people that when I hurt, they rejoice.
They rejoice, right.
They're happy-go-lucky.
So those are almost red flags in a
sense. Yeah, red flag, giant one. Red flag. And when I hurt, they're happy. Or when I'm rejoicing, they're mad at me because I'm not sad or I haven't been suffering with them enough.
So people would say, okay, if I have a friend like that, especially in Christian culture, you know, you take these principles because you can take the right principle and apply it in the wrong place and it not actually be the right principle because it wasn't the prescription for that sickness, so to speak. You know what I mean? So like
it doesn't apply, it doesn't fit.
So you want to think to yourself, oh, I need to turn the other cheek. Oh, I need to walk in love. And all those things are true.
If I turned many more cheeks and if I walked in any more love, there wouldn't be another place in my back for the knife to go in. I mean, if I turned my cheek on my face any more, I feel like my head would be rotating in a complete circle.
So how do you navigate tumultuous relationships or things that go awry or you see those red flags and still be Christ-like? For somebody listening, they may be thinking, you know, I don't want to do this just out of my flesh or just because I'm hurt or just because I'm bitter. I really do want to do this a God way. Yeah. How do you do that?
Have you ever thrown darts at a dartboard?
Yeah.
Okay, you know, there's that center circle.
Yeah.
And that center circle is so hard to hit that you're greatly rewarded for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the more you go out, I used to love to play darts. And the more you go out, they're less points because they're an easy target, right? Sometimes getting a friend or being a friend is an easy target, but they're not really valuable. But when you get to that little tiny center bullseye, you know what it takes to hit that bullseye consistently? I do. It takes work, and it takes consistency, and it takes practice, and it takes a lot of failure, and it takes hitting the wall a few times and missing the dartboard altogether. But when it's right, it's worth every bit of your effort. So to me, I look at certain people like a dartboard. I know it may sound a little weird, but I do. There are people that I keep right smack in the inner circle center, like my kids, like Richard, my family. Then there are people that they're truly my friends, but they're a little further out, and they're not. They don't get all of my time and attention. And then there's the people that I would say are at the furthest point, and I would call them more acquaintances.
Right.
But Nick, what it took for me, because Richard used to say, Lindsay, if you're a doormat, you're going to get walked on. Mm. I was the quintessential doormat. And my favorite word in the English language was, really?
Yeah.
And I'd be duped so fast because I was trusting, because I would believe, oh, okay. But the truth be told is, God said, don't cast your pearls before swines. I know that sounds harsh. But God knows and sees everything. So if I'm just acting on my emotions, man, oh man, I get myself in trouble all the time.
Yeah.
But if I'm acting on God's instruction and emotions can be sometimes so far apart, you don't recognize one from the other.
Yeah.
I am a person that tends to act on emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a person that tends to get burned a lot by acting on those emotions. Yeah. So I had to ask God, in a sense, am I a doormat getting walked on? And the Lord said, yep. And I said, am I casting pearls before swines? And he said, yes.
Which is crazy to think, because you would think like,
I'm just being nice.
Well, yeah. And
love everybody.
And for God to say that to you, it's almost like you're the one putting yourself in that position. You know what I mean? Like you have a responsibility to be accountable for your life. Yes. And like you're saying, for that circle, for the people you surround yourself.
You have a responsibility to be accountable. Jesus sent people away from his life. Jesus wiped dust off his sandals and moved on. Jesus said he could do no mighty miracles because of their unbelief.
So true, right?
And my great-grandfather, I love this guy so much. He died in his late 90s, but I was barely 6, 7, 8 years old when he passed.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to heaven, and he was a character extraordinaire, little guy. I have a strange feeling that might be the side of the family where I get my life from. His daughter was my grandmother, who swears she was 4'10". But if she scraped that 4'10" mark, I'll eat my hat. She was seriously under what she considered to be the 4'10" mark. And somewhere in there, I get my hype. Yeah. But he actually basically had his own hearing, his own teeth, his own eyesight. And he's in his 90s. And he'd always have a saying for everything. Mm. And one of his sayings, very godly guy, one of his sayings was, you eat like a king in the morning, a queen in the afternoon, and a pauper in the evening. Meaning you have a big robust meal early, and then you do not quite so robust in the afternoon, and then you eat what he used to call mush at night. And it was like what I would call oatmeal today.
Mm.
But he had a saying, love many, trust few, but always paddle your own canoe. And if you chew on that a little bit, we're to be operating in an atmosphere of love.
Yeah, right.
We are to be operating. They'll know that we're Christians by our love walk. God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's an important word.
Right.
And it's not just love like romantic kind of love. It's Zoe, God kind of love that is an unconditional love.
Yeah.
And that's a hard love to practice.
Right.
That's a scriptural love to practice. So love many. Do what the Bible says. You can love them unconditionally without letting them wreck your life.
Right.
Trust few. that back to that dartboard, that little bullseye gets smaller and smaller and smaller with your aim.
Yeah.
It gets tighter and tighter and tighter, harder and harder to get to that inner circle.
Mm.
And then he said, always paddle your own canoe. You know what he meant by that?
Mm.
Take responsibility for the things you deem important.
Mm.
If you feel like your family's important, don't trust somebody else to paddle your canoe concerning your family, your finances, your relationship with God, your this or your that. Take your own responsibility.
Right.
For your own canoe,
right.
For your own household, for your own family, for whatever it is. Love many, trust few. Doesn't mean you don't love them. Doesn't mean you don't like them.
Right.
But trust is a different situation where you really let your guard down.
Yeah.
But always take responsibility.
Well, that's
and
a,
be
that's
prepared
so huge.
To paddle your own canoe.
Because you see people blame, you know, you go through relational traumas and things like that. And especially in the Christian world, it's easier to blame God. Like, how come that, you know, and it's like, there is, I think the accountability part, you know, preachers use, like to use accountability when we talk about managing, you know, behaviors or sin or things like that. But I think there is, while that's great, I think that there's a bigger picture, like the relationships, relational harm, relational drama, relational pain is a huge thing that people go through, you know.
Trauma is real.
Yeah.
Look at all you have to do. Let me tell you how I gauge a lot of things. I really do gauge things like this.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it online, but if you walk into a bookstore. What gets prime real estate?
All the books about that, right?
Yes, a lot of things that get
childhood
prime
real trauma,
estate,
your
trauma,
your
relationships. Fix-its, how-to. Have you ever seen the section in how-to? How-to is like taking up so much space. Self-help. All right. Why is there self-help? Because as myself, I need help.
Yeah, I need help.
All right. But be careful which book you pick.
Right.
Because the perspective can be entirely different. And I'm not saying I'm for medicine against medicine, for therapy against therapy. It has nothing to do with that. What is God leading you to do?
Yeah.
But I have discovered that what might work for me wouldn't work for Richard. You talk about day and night.
Yeah.
You talk about summer to winter. You talk about opposites attracting. You talk about a magnet that goes in the other direction.
Yeah.
First of all, he's about a foot taller than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, he was raised in a completely different environment than I was raised in. He was brought up in a completely different city and state that I was brought up in. I mean, talk about totally different. After I moved from Michigan, when my father died, we moved to Florida. I moved there. I went to college there. Listen, I understood that there is nothing greater on this earth, in my own personal opinion, than flip-flops and bare feet.
Yeah.
I don't think Richard's ever owned a pair of flip-flops or gone on a beach in sandals in his life. This is a true story.
Really?
All right, this is an honest true story. And my kids will validate, they'll validate this one. We were all going to the beach one day, and Richard loved it.
Yeah.
But here he is in a lovely pair of shorts, and he had on his fancy dress shoes. And I said to him, what are you doing wearing that? I said, there's sand, there's water, there's ocean, there's something. You're going to ruin those. I said, put something on like flip-flops. I don't own any flip-flops. I said, go barefoot. He said, I will not go. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Now, that was his mama.
Really?
Oh, yes. Now, his daddy, rip off those shoes and go barefoot.
So
his
funny.
Mama, oh, no, you were proper. And she was adorable. And I always tried to measure up to her standards because I'm telling you what, she raised the bar for everybody.
Yeah.
She set a very high standard in a cute, cute way that I don't care what it was. The moment she got up, her bed was made. She got all dressed. She got her makeup on. Listen, about the time I'm getting ready to go to bed, I'm thinking about making the bed. I'm thinking about, nah, that'd be a waste of makeup. I mean, seriously. Yeah. So when I say opposite, I'm talking opposite. But we had so much in common in the core things that matter in the center of the bullseye that's a trusted safe space.
Yeah, trusted safe space.
Yes. If some people don't want to wear flip-flops like I did, I came to school and I basically had board shorts, which kids wear surfing, and flip-flops. And I went to a very conservative school that had a dress code. And I'm like, I am in so much trouble here. Yeah. But okay, that's the way it goes. Those are a lot of things that do matter to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But what matters is when you get into that inner core, when you're about to paddle your own canoe, when you're about to trust few, who do you firmly believe will help you paddle your canoe? Who will take up the four corners of that mat and carry you to Jesus? Who will do that? And if you don't know, ask God.
Yeah.
If you're not sure, might want to rethink. If you're absolutely certain, you are one of the most blessed human beings on the earth. And if you have doubt, but possibilities, pray.
Yeah.
God knows and sees everything.
And don't, and probably wouldn't you say, don't negotiate your standard for what you're looking for just because you're lonely or just because you feel, you see people do that. It's funny because you talk about your mother-in-law having all of these things, right? Yep. And we can be silly and think like, oh, those things are funny. But at the same time, you can call them boundaries, you can call them whatever you like. It's actually, in my opinion, what keeps the relationship safe. Yes. Like having lines that you don't cross, even in a friendship.
I always knew my mother-in-law would be wearing one color nail polish. It was called Heather Silk, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. And I laugh at that because she was consistent. Mm. And I think that I used to call Oral the high flyer, and she was the safety net. Mm. Oral, she would never be the high flyer.
Yeah.
But he wasn't called to be the safety net.
Yeah.
And so what his standard was perfect for him. It was his canoe.
Right.
And what she was so different than what he was.
Yeah.
But it was her canoe.
Right.
And strangely, when they put the two oars together, they were rowing in the exact same direction. How does that happen? Well, listen, I do believe that Oral was hurt throughout his entire life, but he found a safe place.
Yeah.
I believe Evelyn was hurt throughout. I know some of the stories of what she went through, especially, you know, as a young person. But she found a safe space.
Right.
And we all laugh because to think he was your safe space when we know the truth is she was his.
Yeah.
But truth be told, when they got in the canoe together, one was paddling the same direction as the other.
Yeah. And it wasn't that they were the same. There was almost a respect for their differences. And that's what allowed them to be able to be the safe place for one another.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Entirely Unconventional. If it impacted you, please consider leaving a review and giving it a 5-star rating. To order Lindsay's new book, Discover Your True Strength, visit discoveryourtruestrength.com. To connect with Lindsay on social media, you can find her at Lindsay Roberts Official. See you next week.